If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
All right. Attention. Hello and welcome. This is an emergency session of the TRS Death Panel. We are here. I know we've been teasing the 9/11 1973 topic, and we had to put it off again because today New York City once again came under attack by a different group of extremists. Old people with signs begging for more taxes. I don't know, stuff that's dumb. Gay people dressed funny. So welcome to the Daily Show.
So the emergency was another day in America.
That was a terrible day in America. I'll just tell you about it.
Okay. Thanks.
We got some new faces or voices with us. I'm Seven Son. I'm joined by Mike Enoch.
Hey, what's up?
Ghoul.
Hello.
Bulbasaur.
What up?
And this week we've got a new voice. You've probably read his writings on the blog, though, Mr. Hateful Heretic. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
There he is. All right.
We should probably mention that Hateful Heretic is a scientist that is completely unqualified to talk about the issue.
I am absolutely unqualified to talk about global warming. I have never once...
That, I think, that's like a requirement for talking about global warming.
Yeah,
that works.
I do some sort of science that involves a lot of the core physics that are involved behind climate modeling. However, I am entirely unqualified to talk about anything related to climate modeling because I have never fingered Jim Hansen's asshole.
There you go.
Okay, so...
Generally, being unqualified to talk about climatology makes you qualified to talk about climatology, is that?
Yeah, it's the same qualification that most liberals have to talk about money or...
Right.
You know,
family, culture.
Raising kids, preserving
capitalism,
a culture.
Capitalism.
Economy.
Yeah, all of us are about as qualified to talk
rebelling against authority.
Climate change as a leftist is to talk about...
I was just gonna say it was on the tip of my tongue to say as qualified as a liberal is to talk about religion, but we're kind of talking about their religion right now, so
what a religion.
Liberalism's kind of a syncretistic religion. Climate change is one of the many religions that's been incorporated into the fold. So
yeah, it's like a subsect of the overall religion. There's certain core tenets of it that are obvious, I think, obvious that these people are lapsed Protestants.
People like to burn their incense at the climate change temple, and some like to spend more of their time at the feminism temple, but it's all part of the same pantheon.
It's all part of Mother Gaia.
Right. Mother Gaia. So the narrative of apocalyptic collapse that they have usually involves climate change. That's the best one they've come up with so far for their version of the Book of Revelation.
Crisis of capitalism, that's for sure.
It'll work because it's unfalsifiable, and of course that means you're right.
They've also structured it so well as religion. You have like a Garden of Eden paradise that is destroyed by sin, and a sin that we all inherit, and so we all have original sin. And
the original sin was the discovery of the internal combustion engine.
Exactly.
19th century.
Your carbon footprint is the sin you have to atone for. You have to wash that out.
Which is similar with all of these types, SJW types and climate freaks. Like, you know, privilege, original sin, etc.
Right, right. They've got a clergy, a black science man currently residing at the top of it.
He's the current pope.
Right.
I think Michael Mann is a high priest. Jim Hansen is a high priest.
Most of them don't even know who those people are, to be honest.
I think that some of the more active climate science...
The devout faithful really know, kind of like, you know, a really devout Catholic who studies theology knows who Robert Bellarmine is, but... Your average run-of-the-mill Catholic has never heard of that guy.
So I'm looking at some headlines here on this. RTCC.org, responding to climatechange.org. They're claiming over 310,000 people took to the streets in New York. 300 and what do we got here?
85% of them were higher than fuck.
Well, the population of New York City is about 8 million or so.
The internet says 8.3 million.
Yeah, something like that. The population of the greater metro area is about 14 million. I don't think that these 300,000 people were all from New York. I'm pretty sure these people came from all over the East Coast to come here.
300,000, it sounds like a stretch.
They made their pilgrimage.
That's 3.5% of the total population of New York.
It doesn't seem like a stretch to me. It seems pretty realistic considering the popularity of the religion.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they tend to, I don't know how they would estimate that number. I mean, I guess they sort of, they claim at one point the thing stretched 4 miles. I don't doubt any of those numbers.
They probably asked one of the event organizers how big it was.
That's usually where the number comes from, is that the event organizer, they did this with the anti-war protests too.
To be fair, the religion has a lot of faithful, so I'm sure there were an awful lot of people there.
There were a lot of people. I don't even think the number is important, but like I said, even if that number would be 3.5% of the population of New York City, these people weren't all from New York City. That's fairly obvious. People were bussed in from, not that that's like in city, it's like, oh, they were bussed in. But
they were
like,
saying like 550 buses, 300 universities.
Yeah, so these people
several
came
different
in
countries.
From everywhere that was, you know, in relatively reasonable distance. And of course, like UN people, I think there was something like, I don't know who was actually involved in the march, but I know the march.
Ban Ki-moon was there.
Yeah, as was, of course, Al Gore. I know that the march, the reason they had this now is there's this UN climate summit going on next week. And that's going to be participating in that is heads of state from 125 countries, I placed officials from 162 countries. Al Gore is the keynote speaker. The Secretary General is going to be there.
How does that guy have
any
fucking credibility left, Al Gore?
And then on top of these people are against like big corporations, right? Well, some of the sponsors of the big, huge climate march today, as well as other events throughout the week, you have like BMW, Bloomberg, fucking Halliburton. Is one of the sponsors. No joke. Halliburton is one of the sponsors of some of these events. So these people really like fighting the power, guys. Like, yeah. Way to fight the power.
Well, I mean, but what were they doing? I mean, they were out there waving signs they made. They had the paper mache fucking Gaia from Captain Planet.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a craft fair. Like, they were out there showing off their TARDIS leggings. Like, that was it.
Yeah. Well, basically, people that, you know, make products on Etsy made a bunch of paper papier-mâché models.
Like, of the Earth dying.
Yeah.
From people being too prosperous and having too much cool stuff that they can have.
They had the picture of the corporations, like these guys in skeleton outfits, representing the corporations that are destroying humanity.
Yeah,
even
like
though this is the most... This is the largest human population in history, and because of all the stuff we're doing, we're going to have like 9 billion people in Africa in, 20, 30 years?
Well, we should do something about that.
Well, you know, I mean, General Electric, for these people, you have to understand how they categorize something. You know, they use words that to us mean a certain thing and don't mean the same thing to them. When you say the word corporation, I think of something that's, you know, been chartered under some sort of state and federal tax law to be an existent entity apart from any particular individual owner. That's not what they mean. You know, when they say the big corporation, they're referring strictly to corporations that have not kissed the ring. Okay, so despite General Electric being one of the largest corporations on Earth, when they say corporations, they're not referring to GE. They're referring to Exxon. Okay,
right.
You know, so,
and I don't even think Exxon isn't. They're not even up to date on who has and has not greenwashed themselves. I mean,
is Exxon still drilling oil?
Yeah, so I guess
they're not greenwashed. Right. You're not greenwashed enough, and I can tell you more about what goes on in some of these companies too.
I don't even know if most of them even actually can differentiate at all. I think corporation is just Satan, you know.
It's just a catchword for rich white wing.
It's sort of a catchphrase, but when you point out that one of, you know, that, hey, Tesla's a corporation, do you hate Tesla? Well, and they're like, no, that's different. They're not an evil corporation. They're a socially conscious corporation. I just hate the evil corporations. I just hate the corporations that are only out there for greed and profit. Well, isn't Elon Musk a billionaire? Well, he made his billions by serving the social good, so that's different. Okay, so it's all about
Musk.
How, you know, it's all about whether you're morally entitled to what you've got or not.
You'd think that then you'd be like, okay, so then corporations are actually differentiated, so it's not the corporations, it's some corporations, but they can't make that.
It's the evil corporations. Yeah, and on a sign or a bumper sticker, you don't have enough space to put all of that. But
right.
Yeah, you can't actually explain all the nuances.
Yeah, a good example is a few years ago. You remember the Citizens United case, right?
Of course.
So I was arguing with a few liberals, and they were saying that we needed to change the First Amendment so that corporate speech was not protected in the wake of this Supreme Court decision.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I said, so you think it would be, you know, so you think it would be all right for the government to be able to censor any publications by Planned Parenthood or Teamsters Union or MoveOn.org, all of which and are organized as 501c3 corporations. And the response that he said, the guy I was arguing with, he said, those organizations wouldn't be affected by a change to the First Amendment because they're not evil corporations that engage in socially harmful speech.
Not at all.
They really think this way. I mean, they really think if they passed a law that gave the government, you know, power to regulate corporate speech, that somehow their favorite corporations wouldn't be affected. Right.
I hate to be boring and mundane, but they just, when a liberal talks about free speech, they're talking about free speech for themselves and the people they agree with.
Right,
because they've categorized other forms of speech as things that are like hate speech, or harmful speech.
As if freedom of speech just implies like, hello.
Right, I mean, yeah, it's
hello, vote for Obama, the climate is dying.
Yeah, the earth is dying.
And they think that, this is sort of a tangent, but do you guys remember, I mean, some friends of ours who go to a university posted some pictures on the interwebs the other day of something at their prestigious institution. It was on campus. It was like the free speech wall or the free speech board. And it was like, I mean, sure, people have seen something like this before. It was like a big white piece of paper, and there were markers there, and you could go up and express your freely thought opinion, say anything you want on the free speech wall. And of course,
Hold on. Let me guess, because I have never.
I won't even tell you. Go ahead.
Did it not last a week?
No, it lasted. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, because I assumed that there was some guy there who was just like going to decide to write nigger. Yeah. I'm just expressing myself here.
Well,
I saw Viva Pinochet on there.
Viva Pinochet was on there.
Yeah, Viva Pinochet was probably the most reactionary thing that was up there, or crime think or evil thought thing. And I would guess that a lot of the leftists, unless they had vigorously read Noam Chomsky, didn't even know what that meant. I would guess the average progressive student didn't. I mean, the more advanced, of course, having read.
The ones who are majoring in Latin American studies certainly know who that is.
Yeah, they would definitely.
And what a warrior for justice Allende was.
Yeah. Oh,
God. But that's next week on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
That's next topic, right?
A little tease for next time.
That's right. We've been teasing that for how many? I'm like,
2 weeks.
Anyway, so I'm looking at this invasion of New York City today. So they're claiming over 310,000 people. I looked while you guys were talking. New York City, they estimate on New Year's Eve, estimates between 300,000 and 600,000 people for that. So So you're telling me that today this matches the largest annual event in New York City. I have a hard time with that, but, you know, it's neither here nor there. They claim that over 2,600 events in 156 countries today. More than 2 million people have signed some impotent petition somewhere. 30,000 people in Melbourne, Australia. Who cares? Something about Peter Gabriel, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? Okay. He's old, right? I mean, he used to be cool. Old. Oh, Susan Sarandon and Sting.
Wow, really? These are, like, really the Sting. Hot young celebrities of all the kids. I mean,
what they're trying to do, they've got to gather strength, they've got to gather their people together, because somebody somewhere has to build some pyramids for Susan Sarandon and Sting so we can mummify them and put them in there as their final resting places. I don't know how much longer they're going to hold out.
Couldn't they at least get Ariana Grande? I mean, she's a fucking retarded leftist. I mean,
they had Leo DiCaprio.
Who the fuck is that?
Well, he knows everything about the diamond industry because he did that movie about diamonds.
Well, he's an actor. He's an actor, so he's qualified to talk about.
Yeah, he's definitely qualified to talk about. He did.
I thought he killed himself after he did the movie where he got butt fucked. Or am I getting him mixed up?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
You're
Leonardo
thinking of Jack DiCaprio Nicholson, not, the guy who played the Joker.
Did not kill himself.
No, he did not kill himself.
I don't know. Who
I thought he was Joker.
I have no idea who you're. No, that was what's his face.
Jack Nicholson.
That was
Heath Ledger, right?
Oh,
you really don't watch any movies, do you?
Wow, you're really out of touch with the mainstream.
I'm too busy.
Like I don't watch movies at all.
Women and this was lynching people. Obvious.
I'm on the cutting edge. I know everything about pop culture.
I don't know. Heath Ledger. Well, I don't even want to fucking talk about that. What is that shit?
Sorry.
The only thing I'll say about Heath Ledger is that it was a very good thing that he finished that movie. Otherwise, his legacy would have been Buttfuck Mountain.
That's true. He is actually known for being the Joker as his last role rather than being a cowboy that got it in.
Took it in the pooper.
Yep. But anyway,
back to
here's what I find interesting.
We're talking about the Earth and it's dying.
This whole thing about the global warming thing is kind of. I find it curious in a sense that it's actually still going on. They've been on this kick on specifically global warming since the late 1990s.
Well, it's been taking a beating over the last few years.
Usually a fad doesn't last quite this long, but it's kind of still going strong.
Well, obviously, they're ramping up for next week is going to be a big deal. I mean, the UN has revised its own numbers down over the years. What is the old IPCC report? I mean, I mean, they don't publicize it that well, but if you go and you look it up, they've revised their numbers down big time and all that stuff, probably for the sake
of course, if when the numbers come out you question whether they might be overshooting a little bit, you are a denier, a conspiracy theorist, and don't understand how science works until they revise the numbers down themselves. Then it's okay.
Because 90% of scientists agree.
Yeah. 97%.
97. It's actually 97.1488% agree.
Well, what they really mean is 97% of English and humanities degrees agree what science agrees on.
Well,
that's what they really mean.
Okay, actually, this is not entirely true. So, the question they ask that 97% of scientists agree on, which is actually something, it's actually, I would answer in the affirmative as well. It's sufficiently generically worded that it's very difficult to disagree with. And what they ask is, are humans a major contributor to the climate? And the vast majority of scientists will answer in the affirmative. And I would answer in the affirmative as well. But that's because they didn't ask the very specific questions that drive these global circulation models. They know better than to ask that question, because then you're not going to get 97%. Because look, we affect the climate a lot. Paving over an entire forest and putting a parking lot there or a city there, or rerouting a river, or blowing the top off a mountain, that affects the climate positively and negatively, but it certainly has an effect. Right. And that's the question they ask, and that's why if you ask me, I couldn't say no, we don't, because we actually have a measurable effect on the climate just with the clouds created by passenger jets. It's non-trivial. Then they kind of do sort of a bait and switch where they draw the reader and they say, see, 97% of scientists agree that humans affect climate change. And then they say, well, climate change means global warming. Here's what the IPCC says about global warming. This is what 97% of scientists agree on. But that's no longer the case.
The issue is what they never ask are what you're talking about, the specifics of the models and what exactly – I mean, when they talk about it being – a settled science, it's like, what exactly is it that is settled? I mean, is there a settled model for how carbon inputs affect the temperature of the Earth, and is this something that can be predicted with any accuracy? What exactly is it that's settled? I mean, that's one of the main things that they say.
What's settled is you're not allowed to challenge it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's
idiot red stater. Denier, scumbag.
What's settled is the only way to save the human race is for the people who are pushing the panic button to be given a tremendous amount of money and power exceeding the amount of money and power anyone has ever had in human history. It's the only possible solution. And if you don't believe this, you're an idiot and you hate science, and that should be obvious to you.
Right. And there was even, I believe, a sign, a friend of mine who was looking at the marching, at people marching by, said there was even a sign today at the thing that said, like, the debate is over. Which is funny. I mean, it's very funny for people who are so-called scientifically minded to yes. say things like this. I mean,
no more information is needed. Be quiet. It's
right. Gone. And that's one reason why persons such as myself have become, even while I was finishing my doctorate, I would occasionally peruse climate journals and some of what was going on, and I became increasingly concerned because that's not how science operates. The debate's never truly over. And especially on a, and it really kind of worried me. You know, I was not super into anything when I was in graduate school. I was trying to just finish college, and this idea that a science in its infancy, where its models are so incredibly crude and depend on, you know, these algebraic models half the time instead of using the governing PDEs, that it's settled, that there's nothing more to discuss, there's really no more research to be done, we've got it right, and anyone who says there's anything left to talk about needs to be cut out of their departments. I mean, people are being denied tenure over stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's really concerning, because even on much more well-established fields like quantum mechanics, this is actually a good example. Both quantum mechanics and relativity have been around for quite a while and have been used to make successful predictions much more successfully than any global circulation model. But from what I understand, at the very smallest scales, no one's figured out how quantum mechanics and relativity can be reconciled. And everyone knows that there's something wrong somewhere, but nobody knows what it is. So you don't see physicists running around and saying quantum mechanics is settled, the debate is over. But it's quantum mechanics is all like something like 100 years old. And the equations are much simpler than what you're dealing with the general circulation model. But these climatologists say, no, debate's over. We're finished debating. We've been at it for 10 years. We're done.
Right. They're finished. They're finished debating, but they have there's a list online. You can look us up of 52 quote unquote reasons why for the climate change pause. I mean, obviously, if you've got 52 separate explanations for why something isn't happening, you have no fucking idea why something isn't happening.
Right. I mean, I think you can also like automatically dismiss that if an article or piece of news, anything that's titled, you know, 10 top blank, 50 top blank,
yeah,
80 reasons to blank. It's typical.
Oh, yeah. Those clickbaity style headlines.
Yeah, it comes with some, the ads for Etsy.
Here's some tasty GIFs to go in.
Yeah, here's some cat pictures.
But yeah,
grumpy it's cat does not approve of climate change.
Cat lady science.
Well, that I remember when they started coming up with reasons for the pause, it really angered another scientist I know who made some people really upset. Because in 2006, I think it was 06, 07, when the IPCC report that won the Nobel Prize predicted this tremendous warming. And one of the things that he had said was, you know, it's possible, we don't know, because it's very difficult to measure the heat content of the ocean. You basically have to get it implicitly by doing an energy budget. He said, you know, one thing we don't know is the ocean may act as a heat sink to regulate the Earth's temperature, and there's some experimental evidence that's what it does. So I don't know how much you guys know, but the idea of specific heat is how much energy it takes to raise the temperature of something by 1 degree. Okay, do you guys all know about that? Yes. Do I have to explain to anyone?
Some of our listeners might not.
They can Google it. Go ahead.
I'll give the 30-second explanation to the listeners. So there's a certain amount of energy, and energy is always conserved. You don't create or destroy energy, and to raise the temperature of something by 1 degree, depending on the substance, it may take a lot of energy or a little energy. With air, it doesn't take a lot of energy to heat it up. With water, you know, we've all boiled water to, you know, cook ramen in college or whatever, and it takes a lot of energy to heat up ramen, or to heat up water. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah.
Ramen is like a subset of water.
So anyway, he was anyone who said the ocean might act as a heat sink to regulate the atmosphere's temperature was called a denier. You know, people were denied their PhDs over, you know, if they were caught saying this. I mean, that was a really serious thought.
That's brutal.
To say
denied
this.
A PhD over, wow.
Exactly
where you're going with this. I know
right.
Exactly.
It's in climatology at this point. If you are at all questioning what's going on, don't say anything if you want to finish your degree. Wow. Just don't say it. Mm-hmm. Keep your mouth shut.
I knew they would deny you tenure and maybe deny funding if you were doing some kind of study. I didn't know they would actually deny you a fucking degree. That's ridiculous.
Well, you know, your degree is based on your, wow. You know, the whole.
You have to be able to defend your thesis and all
that. You have to defend your dissertation, and the whole point of a PhD is to say, I'm a good researcher, I'm qualified to do academic research. So you can really put yourself in jeopardy if you can't even ask questions anymore, because wow. Just asking the question is saying that the question, it's legitimate to ask the question, mm-hmm. And the debate's over. So if you're even asking the question, you are denying that the debate is over.
Shut it down!
Right. So anyway, so the 2012, 2013 IPCC report comes out and acknowledges that there's been no global warming for about a decade and says, you know, we actually, you know, one of the reasons might be, you know, it turns out that the ocean might be a heat sink that regulates the atmosphere's temperature. Nobody thought of this in 2007.
But it's only been doing this for the last 10 years. It doesn't really do this permanently, guys.
Except for the people that were denied tenure, but they're not really people.
Except for the heretics who have been cast out into the land of weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Nobody thought of this.
That's funny. I didn't actually know that about 2006, 2007, but as soon as you brought that up, I started to sort of chuckle inwardly because I know that that's what's been going, like the last year or so, that's been bandied about as a big explanation for why there's been a pause, one of the explanations. I mean, it's funny when you actually run into people that will then deny the pause. The 2013,
pause is in the data. You can't deny the pause.
It's, yeah, and it's also in their, it's in the IPCC report. Like, they acknowledge it. So you have to be really a zealot to even say now, like, even like the high priests are actually wrong. Like, even the IPCC.
Well, that's because we're now seeing a schism. Those are the low church. Climate change.
Right, they're like the snake handlers.
Right. They're like the church I grew up with.
Right, and they just pretend they didn't have the heresy trials and the witch hunts back in 2007. They pretend none of that happened.
I mean, I'm sure that that's all still available on Google for someone who's a deputy.
It's not like it happened that long ago.
Using the Google search engine. I mean, there's also, of course, there's
perhaps
funny
the Wayback Machine.
You know, you hear them now because this last winter.
Steve McIntyre and Anthony Watts keep archives of all this stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And I know that this last winter was one of the most coldest in my memory, in my lifetime. Very
temperature cold. Is weather isn't climate. Unless it's hot weather, then it's climate.
Yeah, yeah, right. I mean, it's not climate unless it's warm. Of course, what you get is the whole thing, like, well, global warming could leads to extreme weather events, therefore blizzards and snowstorms in the winter. But I distinctly remember, and I know with a couple minutes on Google, and maybe I'll post some in the post for this audio, you can find articles from 10 years ago where they were saying winter might never happen again.
Right,
like,
right.
We might never have winter again.
So the general circulation models predict a general moderating of temperature cycles as the Earth warms, because as the Earth warms, there's kind of this insulating effect. You know, if you want to go to where the most extreme temperatures are, you go to somewhere with no atmosphere at all, right?
Right.
Like the moon, or Mars barely has an atmosphere. You know, Mercury, the dark side of Mercury is really quite cold. The hot side of Mercury would practically vaporize you. That's one of the things they predict. But of course, with global warming, it's kind of like there's no evil scenario that can't possibly be attributed to global warming. So it's kind of like anything bad that happens, like, oh well, you know, it's caused by CO2. So, you know, increasing CO2 is going to cause extreme weather events, even though that's not what the models actually predict. And the models that are used to predict warming.
They even say that it's going to cause extremist political events. I mean, I have a
link. Right, right.
They even said, is terrorism, is global warming driving terrorism?
ISIS is caused by global warming.
They actually, and they're so bought in that I could see somebody actually buying. I mean, they do buy it. They put it in the fucking newspaper. They do buy it.
You know, what's incredibly bizarre about this is, you know, nature has no moral compass. A natural event's just a natural event. Yet somehow the only social and political events precipitated by a couple degrees increase, they're all negative. There's not a single positive event that happens from warming. Yet, you know, if you could think of, say, you know, imagine, say, there was some sort of catastrophic event that caused, you know, this massive river to open up and just cut across the Sahara. And there'd be some real negative events associated with that, but obviously there'd be a lot of positive events as well. You know, the Sahara would now be irrigated, would become a fertile land. There, you know, mm-hmm. maybe civilization could happen there.
Well, that might not actually be entirely
possible. Wrong con, right? But you know, you get my drift.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But somehow warming, none of it's positive. It's all terrorism and tornadoes. You know,
right? It couldn't be that actually, you know, like there would be more arable land for the north.
Right.
Increase agriculture production or something, just off the top of my head.
Right, that's actually something David Friedman's brought up, is that the increase of arable, that most of the dry land in the world is north, is in the north, and that a couple degrees warming of the equator, if you believe the models, the loss of land to rising sea levels is dwarfed many times over by the gain of arable farmland in Canada and Siberia.
Yeah, I mean,
but how are all those equatorial POCs supposed to move away from land that's going to be flooded? You shitlord.
Well, yeah, then we.
I'm sure Canada will have refugee resettlement programs. They're the types. Russia, yeah. You might be SOL.
Well, speaking of those two, wouldn't we also have a really short, you know, polar shipping lane? If, you know, we lost all that ice there, there were no more.
Let me butt in here for 1 second, Mike. Can you talk a little bit about the Occupy Wall Street emails you've received about the upcoming?
I actually am on the OWS email list, you know, for the lulls, and so there's going to be events all week with this UN summit and the climate march today and all that crap. Tomorrow morning, and maybe I don't have to go down there tomorrow morning, but tomorrow morning there's going to be this event called Flood Wall Street. But what the OWS people are going to do is they're all going to put on blue T-shirts, maybe blue sweatshirts because it's a little chilly maybe tomorrow, and they're going to go down to the New York Stock Exchange and surround it with the flood of humanity. So you guys get the metaphor, you know, blue for water. They're flooding Wall Street. And they're flooding Wall Street.
I get it.
They're flooding Wall Street because Wall Street is flooding us.
and rising sea levels, right?
I mean, the only thing I can think is that, you know, capitalism is causing rising sea levels. I mean, that's the only way I think that this metaphor could make sense. Let me see if I can
stop capitalism.
Have a little website here. NYC and everywhere. Oh, and if you guys want to show solidarity, just wear a blue shirt tomorrow.
Oh, shit.
I probably was going to wear a blue shirt tomorrow anyway.
I wear blue shirts almost every day.
I wear blue shirts like all the time.
Yeah, can you imagine them all there, like, blinking hands and waving their shoulders around? Like, this is what you're doing to us!
The call to action.
Hey, guys, remember when Occupy Wall Street changed the world and ended capitalism?
Oh, that was awesome.
That was awesome.
It was so good for...
I'm sorry, is that something that actually is parroted, or was that just complete 100% sarcasm?
I don't really do sarcasm. It's not a thing for me.
he does science.
So, I mean, is that something that's actually parroted then?
No. Maybe. I don't think I've ever... I remember when it happened, it was supposed to change the world and change us from a greed-based economy to a compassion-based economy, but I don't think it actually did
a few good things for the market, actually. It allowed all of the pieces of shit to get fired and be replaced by you know, young people actually looking for experience.
Well, you know, that is actually a point I wanted to make, is that I'm actually coming around to kind of, in a way, supporting what OWS and those types do. I mean, because... You know, these young left-wingers, you know, they're going to these colleges and they're wasting time. They're getting, like, a humanities degree. They're not really interested in learning things that will make them money. So they graduate, and you know, their particular sector of the economy is already flooded with mediocrity. So they end up going and working for like Starbucks and things like that. And I'm glad that they do this, because as a blue collar worker myself, I don't want to compete. I like the fact that this creates a demand for people with two brain cells that can rub together. Because, you know, for people like me that have the agency to actually go to a job and not be high while I'm working it, and things of this sort, you know, I'm actually doing quite well for myself, and it's entirely because of liberalism. So I think
I wouldn't go too far.
I'm going to join the OWS mailing list.
I mean, you might as well have all of these middle class white people taking themselves out of the productive market.
I don't want to burst your
raises. My wage is definitely raised, because I'm actually in a sort of swipple white collar kind of profession, where some of these people had actually gotten an education, they could potentially compete with me.
Yeah, but then you got to pay for their government sinecures, because we can't let people starve.
I was just going to say, shitlords, I hate to burst your bubble, but you guys better be doing well, because you'll be paying their bills and putting food in their mouths when they're older, and you're doing well, and they've, you know, wasted all their opportunities. So
you're paying for that white upper class middle girl to have two black babies. Aww. That's what you're.
But it's okay. She'll die at 60 because they're going to have death panels. That's definitely
one can only
the whole Obamacare thing. They are going to start completely embracing that, and we're going to see all of the people, the millennials, when they hit 60 and they have nothing better to do, they're just going to kill themselves and make Twitter posts about it. And I'll still be writing. I will be the one laughing. It's going to be great.
Okay, so if you guys want to know how you can help to stop capitalism and end the climate crisis,
I need to know. Lay it on me, brother.
I want to stop both things.
So, September 22nd, flood, blockade, sit-in, and shut down.
Oh, I can't do it that day. I'll be busy at my job.
You have a meeting?
Something people care about.
Did somebody say shut down? I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do it again.
Oh, I was sort of waiting for you to cue it.
Okay.
Shut it down! Shut it down!
There you go.
And shut down the institutions that are profiting from the climate crisis. Wear blue. On Monday, September 22nd at 9 a.m.
Wait, go ahead.
Isn't Israel's flag part blue?
Okay, so this is one of those little pieces of rhetoric that I always like to untangle. The companies that profit the most from the so-called climate crisis
are green energy companies. I don't have to finish this.
Actually, my company makes tons of money because one of our big things we do is we help automotive companies make EPA
standards. Right? Who's your employer and what's your full name?
Yeah, let me tell you both of this. I'll give my social security number, my bank account info. My social security number is 1488666.
Oh, then I just step on a 1488 joke. Shit. This is why we need to be in the same room with each other. That wouldn't happen. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, do you want to go back and do that again? Because
that was no, great. Fucking it up is funnier than doing it, probably.
All right. But if it wasn't for the EPA, you know, I don't know what we'd be doing. We'd find something. We're smart guys. But now,
didn't they very recently, you seem to have your knowledge cataloged. The EPA declared CO2 as a greenhouse gas, is that correct? Or a greenhouse gas that they could regulate?
They have no right to regulate greenhouse gases. This is the finer details. The EPA is commissioned to classify and regulate pollutants.
Right.
Yeah, they're called pollutants, yes.
So the reason this was controversial is because CO2 if you take any kind of originalist look at law, pollutant specifically refers to things that harm creatures that ingest or inhale it.
Right.
Okay. CO2 is not a pollutant. Carbon monoxide is a pollutant.
Right.
NOx is a pollutant. Soot's a pollutant. CO2 is not. But the Supreme Court ruled, I think it was against the Bush administration.
Yeah, I think it was they sued the Bush administration.
I think Bush tried to stop the EPA from regulating CO2, right. And the Supreme Court said the EPA has a duty to decide if CO2's a pollutant or not. Amazing. And regulate it. So
they tried to come up with some doctrine that it was a clear and present danger or something. I remember when this lawsuit was going on, and it's like, obviously it's not a pollutant because as an inhaled gas, it doesn't harm people or animals. So they were trying to come up with how it's a pollutant, and they tried to like redefine that. And the doctrine they came up with was,
as you guys may have noticed, I never talk about where I pursued my PhD, but maybe that's my problem is, everything that has to do with climate change and CO2, it's like, I might not have pursued a PhD. I did pursue third grade biology. And I remember something, photosynthesis. I mean, and CO2 just basically comes from everywhere. And it's got what plants want. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's pretty essential to the life cycle of plants.
I mean, no CO2 means no vegetation. No.
Hold on, I got to come
in. It means no vegan asshole hippie.
Which means no leftism. Actually, I find myself supporting this.
Shit, you're right. We better start regulating the CO2 crap.
CO2 is a pollutant.
Because liberalisms are a pollutant. They require vegetation. Ergo, okay, I'm digging it now.
I mean, it's just how they won that victory during a Republican administration where they could regulate a gas that's as ubiquitous as any other that we're
well, I mean,
it's actually not that that's ubiquitous. How I mean, it's actually very small component of the atmosphere. I think Hateful would be able to tell us exactly how much, but it's a very small amount in the atmosphere. There's not very much CO2.
But what I'm saying is it's emitted by not just everything we do industrially, just breathing. I'm emitting it.
The biological cycle is conserving.
So anything what's breathed out by animals is breathed in by plants, and it balances out. So
because I know that there is something about how the only kind of CO2 that's bad is CO2 produced from burning fossil fuels,
right.
That previously trapped CO2.
Right. So
whereas everything else would be equalized. Yeah, I've heard that doctrine.
Supposedly, which is not entirely true. But
it's
the
retarded, not entirely true.
The plants and animals balance out on net, because otherwise, eventually all the plants would die, or eventually all the animals would die if they didn't balance out. But of course, burning CO2 in the short, so there's all this carbon, it is sequestered under the earth, but by releasing it into the atmosphere, what we have observed, in fact, is that plant life flourishes as a result. There's the ocean acts as a sink, not just for CO2 via dissolution, but algae. There's a lot more algae now than there was 30 years ago. So
the
Supreme Court ruled in 2007.
Did you say sea life or assholes?
Can regulate CO2 because it poses a danger to the public health.
Yeah, that's what it was. I knew it was some doctrine like that. Which is funny.
Go ahead.
There was another case in England, I believe, where some green activists stormed a power plant, a coal burning power plant, and actually a coal burning power plant.
Oh, that I'm triggered now.
Yeah, so they stormed it and they got inside.
That's even worse than a Jew burning power plant. On a moral level, it's
They got inside and they actually successfully destroyed something. I don't know that they actually destroyed a turbine or what, but they destroyed something. They destroyed some property. And they vandalized one of the smokestacks that release water vapor. Mm-hmm. People think that, when you see those smokestacks.
They think it's smoke, but
it's water vapor, because that's how they... Anybody that knows how this works.
It's boiling lead.
That explains why we need to outlaw vapor cigarettes the same way we outlaw regular cigarettes, because water vapor is absolutely, there's no difference between the pollutants. But go ahead.
Well, there is going to be CO2 in those vapors, is there not? I mean...
Well, water vapor is also a greenhouse gas, but we don't have to get in.
Water vapor is actually a more significant greenhouse gas than CO2.
Yeah. But again, as you were saying, liberals don't know how things work or else...
But we have no ability to regulate water vapor at all because it comes out of the ocean.
We can regulate coal burners, though, right?
Right.
I'm all for a law regulating coal burners.
What about oil drillers?
You can definitely regulate
them. Oil drillers, I'm actually fine.
Yeah, it's not as much of a threat. They're kind of just surrendering their DNA to.
There's some reason to think that oil drillers are on net possibly doing a social good, but we can talk about that another time.
But this is one of the many problems with progressivism is that if government is your solution, well, government isn't actually omnipotent, so they tend to ignore possible causes that are outside of the government's ability to control. So if indeed the sun's magnetosphere is a major driver of the climate due to cosmic rays interaction with the cloud cover, which is the only model that actually successfully predicts the climate, by the way, well, how does the government regulate the sun solar flares? You know, it can't.
You know, that kind of sounds like a plot to a Marvel Comics.
Right.
Like, not really does, and doesn't things
it's
like that.
It's cosmic rays.
Reed Richards can figure out how to do it.
I'd have to bring up the link, but there's been a bunch of experiments done on passing cosmic rays through water vapor, and the sun, just like the Earth, has a magnetosphere, and of course the Earth has its magnetosphere, and those affect cosmic rays interaction with water vapor in the atmosphere, which significantly affects the cloud cover, which significantly affects the temperature on the Earth, and may, in fact, there's significant experimental evidence because the global temperature correlates very closely with sunspots, and sunspots are very strong indicators of how strong or weak the magnetosphere of the sun is at the time. Of course, if that's what's driving climate, then the U.S. government can't do anything about it. So that's why
we're going to have to blow up the sun.
Right. That's so obvious. How did I not think of that?
Oh.
It was obvious that the Republican Party's war on women is causing the sun's ionic activity to go all weird and ruin our lives.
Let's just wave fans really hard at the sky.
Jesus.
Yeah, and that's another one that the Michael Mann crowd come back at dishonestly. It's the amount of dishonesty in climatology really, really aggravates me. I mean, if you're a scientist, you don't need a lie. You can make your case, and you can say, I don't know, but...
It's okay to say you don't know.
Right, and what you'll see is they'll say, there's some articles out where they say, well, actually, you know, the Earth's temperature has no correlation with solar irradiance, but the claim is not that the brightness of the sun is driving the climate, it's the magnetosphere, which is different. So, anyway, I'll stay off of that. You can Google more about that if you want to learn about it.
Now, one thing I wanted to bring up, we were mentioning Al Gore. Now, I'm actually going to kind of reveal to the audience a little more about myself.
This is a good story. I like this story.
Yes. I actually grew up in a part of Tennessee, and I won't give the location. You can look it up. The Google will tell you. But it is the birthplace of Al Gore Jr.
Now, for everyone who doesn't live there, Al Gore Jr. is the Al Gore that Al Gore.
I don't think
anybody outside of Tennessee thinks of him as Al Gore, because I was confused when you first told me. Like, wait,
right,
who the fuck
right.
You talking
because,
about?
Because Tennesseans would know Albert Gore Sr., who was a senator.
Correct.
Right. And, but going on, the Gore family owned, I can't remember, I know they had majority holdings or they had a sway over the shareholders of a zinc mine located in that area. And it's known not only for being a very large deposit of zinc, but it is also recognized as the largest germanium deposit on the planet. And it was closed down. And this was a big to-do. I mean, this was a major employer for this area. And the economy for this area has still not recovered. I mean, it's still considered one of the most depressed areas in Tennessee.
About how long ago was this when he shut it down?
Oh, God. It's been shut down several times. I know they attempted to reopen it. Mm-hmm. They were going to do some hullabaloo about doing it more green or something, and then they shut it down again. Yeah, and that was the funny thing is he shut it down because it was polluting the Caney Fork River. The pollutants caused by it was bad for the environment.
Yeah, when he says he shut it down, yeah, it means Al Gore.
Right. So, and Hateful was bringing up, and this is something I actually didn't know, is
right.
that
Well, germanium is a semiconductor, and it's an important ingredient in many different solar panels and batteries. The so-called green future can't happen without large amounts of semiconductors. There's a poster in TRS that we talked about in PM. He's an engineer, and he's done some kind of back of the envelope calculations on just how much copper it would take to convert our entire world economy to solar. Just based on how much, you know, he had some figures on how much copper there is per, you know, square inch of solar panel or whatever. It's more copper than is currently above ground. Like, you could melt down all the copper in the world that's out there right now. It's not enough to convert the economy to solar. And I see this happen all the time with environmentalists. On one hand, they demand you do something. And then on the other hand, well, none of the stuff grows on trees. And so they're like, oh, my God, mines are bad. Shut down the mine. And do you realize I'm mining fucking rare earth metals to make your goddamn solar panel that you just shit your pants about?
It almost makes you think that their entire religion has nothing to do with the climate at all, but perhaps a separate agenda. I mean, I don't know. What could it be?
Well, that's enough, Pinko. You're through!
I mean, I think one of the reasons that the whole narrative has this resiliency is that it's essentially been counted on for the last... I don't know. I mean, we're talking about since the 90s. I mean, the agenda started in the 70s.
The coming ice age was the right where they started.
It really took off, though, remarkably enough, after the fall of the USSR.
Right.
When it sort of became the new great left hope. And now you have the IPCC and all of these really leftist people trying to create a new sort of omnipotent global... I mean, it sounds like a conspiracy theory, like they want to create global government, but this is like actually quite literally an attempt to create global government. And I think the idea of the left has is that we can actually have some hugely powerful bureaucracy of experts, and they can run the world the right way.
Right.
And they see global warming, climate change
dream since 1904.
Right. And they think that this is a way to sort of shoehorn that in there. Like, look,
even older,
I don't think
Aristotelian models for society are all, you know,
I don't think there's
the
much
best philosophers.
Like, I honestly don't think there's much of a, like, a conspiracy to make environmentalism the driver of the progressive dream of world government. I think the environmentalists, because, you know, I was on campus forever, it did interact with them. They careen from one thing to another because they're driven by emotions. They're driven by Hollywood. Nobody in Hollywood understands what they're talking about either. I mean, like the fact that Leo DiCaprio's at this, you know, climate march. What? Oh, you were in Titanic. Okay,
come on, man.
You played a guy who drowned. So it's all on this like progressives. Most your average rank and file liberal and many of the high ranking ones, they operate on such a gut level. They just emote from one thing to the next. So they see, you know, coal plants. Oh my gosh, coal plants, soot, smokestacks. Those are bad. I hate them. I remember in Final Fantasy VI, the industrial world was scary and bad, and I hate it. And I saw Fern Gully, and I saw Avatar, and this stuff makes me cry. So I'm against.
Let's not even get into the macro reactors of FF7.
Right. So they cry and they stamp their feet and they get the government to subsidize solar panels. And so the government goes to companies like GE and others and they say, okay guys, we want you to make solar panels now. And GE and Halliburton and Raytheon, everybody, they're like, oh yeah, we'll start researching solar panels. They go, okay, well, I guess we'll need some germanium and cadmium and nickel and lead to get these solar panels going, so let's open up a lead mine. And they start open up a lead mine, and the environmentalists, they just emote it and they say, oh my god, I hate lead mines. Can't blow up that mountain. That's scary and bad. And I saw in Avatar that blowing up the beautiful land of the people is bad too. So we have to ban that too. And then that's when the rent seekers at places like GE really start to get pissed off, because they're like, okay,
where do you want me to seek my rent? I thought you wanted me to build solar panels, but you don't actually want me to build them out of anything. And then maybe you actually get them built. You're like, okay, so you want us to put solar panels somewhere. Okay, here's a nice, sunny, expansive desert in Nevada. We're going to put them in. And then the environmentalist, there's a lizard here that's endangered, and I saw Silent Spring, and endangered species make me sad, and you can't put the solar panels in the desert. Could you maybe put them under the sea? Maybe in the dark? Can you put the solar panels in the dark somewhere?
You should put the solar panels on the roads.
Oh, God. Do we have to go there?
Why are we not funding this, guys? Holy
our street. I saw it on a YouTube video. It probably deserves $1 billion.
Yeah, I agree with you there, but I don't think it's a conspiracy.
Well,
I just think that
I have some.
Well, of course not. No, it's just people that are fucking idiots.
Well, were you guys talking about? I think it was Alex's name. It was Alex and Bulbasaur were talking about a few weeks ago about how the commies out there, you know, the commie keyboard warriors on Facebook, like they don't even talk economics anymore. Like they kind of just like surrendered. Like, all right, they've come around to realize that the way to be international commies is to have our capitalism and just be able to rent seek out of it. Isn't just
the fine young capitalists is one group. But one thing that I was wanting to point out, the whole global government thing, it really comes back to like a projection of their own powerlessness, of their own like hatred of themselves, because they have such high time preference. They're so impulsive that they lack any sort of like moral compass. I mean, you look at how they live their lives. I mean, when they're not out marching on the street, they're at home fucking smoking woonga and sniffing their own farts, shooting up battery acid.
I heard that's a really popular drug with all the kids these days is sniffing farts.
You read on HuffPo, they talk about, oh, I've seen this polyamorous relationship with a donkey, and it really made me think. You know, it's like something on Upworthy. Watch this video of a woman making out with a donkey for 30 seconds. It's going to make you rethink of, like about capitalism and everything. It's... And it always comes back to
a picture of a fat naked woman will challenge your standards of beauty.
We're going to need a bigger oven.
Nope, they're the same. They were.
So then we got to do a show where we just read off the HuffPo gay voices headlines.
What I was saying is, what they want is their international and national carbon taxes, right?
That's what it is. Concrete demand that's come out of the mess of emotions.
That's the only thing that I know of that's concrete. What are we going to do about it? I mean, people talk about, you get the CAFE standards. You know, they raise that all the time, and emission standards, and we got our stupid $50 light bulb, $50 light bulbs everywhere, and all that bullshit.
Well, I got to interject again. It's about punishing people that are better than them. You see a guy that's, he was able to pull himself out of the gutter. I hate him. Let's pull him back down here with me.
I don't think that's it at all, Bulbasaur.
You don't think it's tall poppy?
No, I think that's a lot like how a lot of conservative talk show hosts and stuff portray it. That's not really what's going on. What you have is you have a very – they have kind of a childish view of the world. They really make no – first of all, they make no effort to understand how things actually work anywhere. You know, they don't know how a solar panel works. They don't know how a coal turbine works, but they have very strong opinions on these things. I try not to have strong opinions on things I don't understand at all.
Right.
What they do is they have some sort of fantasy of how the world should work, and they see that's not the way the world works, and that makes them angry, and then they demand somebody make it work that way. And where they tend to get, I think a major difference is that liberals absorb far more popular media than conservatives, because
right.
I find a conservative who doesn't find a huge chunk of it slightly disgusting and wants to walk out of half the movies he watches. Liberals don't feel that way. So, you know, I watch Avatar, and a half hour into the movie, I'm just like, oh, shit, this sucks. And I find excuses to go get more popcorn. I just kind of sit there and just kind of daydream. Liberals got emotional at that movie, and they cried afterwards, and they had, you know, they had drum circles afterwards. And they see that our world doesn't work like Avatar's does, and it makes them mad, and then they demand that somebody make the world work the way Avatar does, because they want someone to make Captain Planet real. Yeah, that's. I really don't think it goes a lot deeper than that for most of them. They don't understand why everything can't be free, and so they demand everything. Somebody make it free. I mean, go back to healthcare. Try getting a liberal to understand why you can't just declare healthcare to be an infinite supply and free for everyone.
But it's too expensive. You need to make it cheaper.
Right. They just get more agitated the more you try to explain that their fantasy can't become reality.
But it's too expensive.
And it's really funny that they actually... When you even talking about things like they don't like that you the very idea that you say like you can't do something, they think that's something to be that is like up for. I mean, I hate to be using this sort of rhetoric like the debate is over.
1500s, they said women couldn't vote, and look at us now.
Right, and it's like
they kill babies.
It's like okay, so you want healthcare to be free, or like you want solar panels to work, you want wind power to work, you want to have a way of generating energy that creates more energy than it takes energy to run, but like this can't work for X, Y, and it's like I don't agree with that.
Well, actually
it's like I just disagree with that.
If you watch Zeitgeist, you would know that geothermal energy is actually endless.
All right, is that like the biomass? Or the,
geothermal's drilling.
They could power the entire
world.
Just
open up a hole to the Earth's core and just run like heaters off of it, I guess.
Yeah, because there's so many places you can do that in the world's geography, not like four.
Stick a rod in the ground and then you're
on. But they do it in Iceland. Iceland's a great place to do it.
You're just being negative. You're not.
Isn't there also what is like biomass being exactly? Is
that biomass like, means burning plants. It's how they run things in Africa.
Which is hysterical because wouldn't that release a lot of carbon dioxide?
It's like a fireplace.
No, well,
fireplace.
Because it's part of the
it's part of the cycle. Of the
biological cycle. Got no, it. The deal is that burning wood.
But that also releases wood is terrible. It releases a lot of other actual pollutants like soot and dust into the air.
Here, the reason biomass doesn't work is biomass is solar energy. There's only really two real sources of energy in the world. One is the sun, and one is radioactive elements like uranium. Mm-hmm. All coal and oil is stored solar energy. Yeah. And all biomass is, it's burning various things that you get out of algae and sugarcane and whatever, and it's stored solar energy. And plants aren't very efficient solar to chemical energy converters, and then, of course, you have to convert the chemical to mechanical. There's not a lot to get out of solar energy. You're going to use a semiconductor panel, or you're going to use a biological entity to collect solar energy. There's just not a lot there. Why biomass isn't going anywhere either.
Every time you try to convert energy, you lose some.
Didn't the Nazis use biomass? It was like 1,488 degrees in those ovens.
Oh, no.
Generated 1,488 gigawatts.
That's gigawatts! 40! Sorry.
Hey, y'all! It's 1,488 gigawatts!
Okay, well, with that...
Like Tay-Sachs disease and cystic fibrosis, I, too, will always plague the Jews. This is the Merchant Minute. This past Thursday, Scotland voted on whether to secede from the thoroughly Jewish union that is the United Kingdom. The Scots chose to stay in the Union. Either that or Merchant rigged the vote, which isn't far-fetched at all since the Hooknoses rigged every primary election that Ron Paul has ever run in. Why would the oven magnates want Scotland to stay in the Union, you might ask? It's not just Scotland's North Sea oil, though having oil alone makes you worthy of a $6 trillion war like Iraq. It's also that the Jews fear the BNP UKIP pro-white fascist coalition government that would inevitably come to power if only the UK could slough off that single-digit percentage of the electorate, that is, the left-leaning Scottish voters. So, in conclusion, Scotland wanted to be even better leftist goyim and let in more Dune coons to outdo the English in the Tolerance Special Olympics after that whole Rotherham thing, but the Jews who control the UK were like, "No, we can't take the risk that Scotland being better goyim would lead to England being even worse goyim." Reaffirming our position here at TRS that, in reality, it is never happening. speculating on gold futures and start speculating on black futures. The odds are always in your favor because liberals refuse to accept it. For therightstuff.biz, I'm Morakiu, and this has been the Merchant Minute.
One thing to say about just the conversation we were just having. I mean, progressives, they all sort of have like these mental blocks to prevent them from having to deal with reason and facts. You know, like if you show them a graph of crime versus race, they're just going to say, well, you're a racist, and that means they don't have to think about the plot that you just showed them.
Right.
They've also been taught that whenever a progressive has a dream and someone says, no, that can't be done, that's a reactionary who lacks vision.
Right, that's the solar roadway, the guy who debunked solar roadways.
And they're taught to think back all the times people said you can't. That you said you can't to the Wright brothers, and they said you can't to Rosa Parks, and they said you can't to Neil Armstrong, and we did, and yes, we can. So they're taught to believe that there truly are no limits. As long as a progressive can imagine it, it's possible. And anyone who says it's not is just being a stick in the mud. So you're rejected out of hand. That's all.
Probably Nazi too.
The future belongs to those that believe in the beauty of their dreams.
Oh my God, that's the gayest thing you've ever
and with
said.
That
you didn't know that she said that? That's like a famous quote.
I'm just gonna.
God,
I'm gonna.
I honestly don't want to be alive anymore.
I'm gonna replace the tricky dick quote with that at the end of every. That's it. speaking of which, I should do a little eulogy for the original opening of the Daily Show. It was brought to my attention by you guys a few weeks ago. I never said anything that, like, if you didn't know what that soundbite was, you couldn't hear it. So I just want to explain it to anybody who is wondering. That was Richard Nixon from his archival tapes talking about the Bohemian Grove. And originally, if you go back and listen to the first couple episodes, it's the first thing you hear. He says, it is the faggiest goddamn thing I can ever imagine. And we're not using that anymore. I wanted to apologize.
The audio is just such shit to your
it's
quality.
Just, yeah, you just, you can't. There's not a good copy of that. Yeah, because
why hasn't Hollywood applied their digital magic to enhance that?
They just can't.
I tried to apply digital magic to it, and I spent like an hour.
There's nothing you can do
with that. Couldn't get it to be good.
Because the copies we have, they're peaked out, first of all.
Yeah.
They're overdriven.
All over the place, and compressed as hell.
Yeah, and they're digitally compressed by YouTube or wherever you grab them from, so you've got this awful...
You're just being a stick in the mud, you know?
You're right.
Believe in the beauty of your dreams.
If I believed in it more, I'd be able to clean that audio up and be able to use it. But we're not using that anymore, so now we're using W. So we'll be back next week. We're gonna try to once again do the Pinochet, 9/11, never forget.
And it'll be good.
Yeah, it will. It's gonna be really good because now I'm gonna have a third week to read up on it, and it's gonna be fucking awesome. So anyway, guys, thanks for coming on, Mike, Ghoul, and Bulbasaur, and Hateful Heretic. Hateful. He's got a worse name than me. The seventh song. So yeah.
Good to press the week with you guys.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. See you next week.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember, others may hate you. Those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. And then you destroy yourself.
Adios, mi general. Adios, la página que hoy día se cerró. Se abre ya la historia como ráfagas de sol, justo en el umbral donde se encuentran los valientes, los que se atreven. Jamás se han...